One of the blurbs on the back of the book says, to be human is to be broken. Mm-hmm. You're nodding your head, Elizabeth.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you're going to get to this in your questions, and we can talk about it later, but, you know, the book is what we're calling a literary mosaic, and we were really attracted to the ancient mosaics in Rome. Oftentimes they were used on floors in really fancy houses, and painting sort of overtook the mosaic for many reasons, one of which was paintings were portable. It also had to do with the way art history was written and who was writing art history. But mosaics are made up of these, you know, tiny pieces of shell and marble, and then those pieces are made into what are called tessera, and they're like these little rectangles that can fit together and create a picture. And sometimes those pictures were intoxicatingly seamless, almost like an oil painting, you know, if you stood back from it. So we love the how a mosaic begins broken. And you can sort of see the whole picture as well, but it starts off broken. And Rome itself feels so broken with all these layers of history. So the way that the book, the form of the book is supposed to kind of gracefully fail at being whole at all, in the same way that Rome is so complex. And I think also, you know, if you are a writer, you know that any kind of seamlessness that you can create is still constructed. So a beautiful story, if there's even a single edit, there's a brokenness to it. And when you're two people working together, there's also a natural brokenness between your observations, your syntax. So the book is broken because we're two people, especially, but we're sort of enjoying, kind of reveling in that brokenness everywhere mm-hmm. feeling.
And two people trying to write as one entity is not going to be perfect, I guess. It's going to be broken in its own way.
Right, right? And yeah.
Page 7, there are two paragraphs. Maybe you could alternate reading them, although one's much longer than the other, and then we can talk a little bit more about the mosaic.
I dreamt last night I was a fountain in the Tivoli Gardens. Fast streams of forceful water poured from my breasts, my ass, my vagina. I reached to try to stop the flow, but my stone hands were fixed to my sides. The water poured and poured, and I could do nothing to stop it. The best dream I have ever had.
When you look close enough, there's nothing that isn't a cracked assemblage.
There's so much in those two little bits. And, you know, that's the feeling of the book. There's so much in each little bit that, you know, I could have written 3 or 4 pages of notes to talk about different things and could probably interview you for 3 hours, even though the book is this tiny book of 121 pages. And when we talk about 121 pages, this is a small book. This fits in your mm-hmm. pocket. So, first of all, one of the things that comes up, if we want to follow the notion of the mosaic, is that you see it as an undervalued art form, the mosaic itself. That's one thing. The second thing is the notion of dreams and how dreams are enhanced when you go somewhere else. So I had some great dreams on a recent trip to Wisconsin, of all places. I can imagine what they'd be like going to Rome. And then the other thing about the blurred authorship, as we're reading this, you know, we're thinking, oh, I know who wrote this. And then the last line is a dream. It tells you it's a dream. So that could be anyone. So anything that comes up in those notions that you want to talk about, that you find compelling, talk about.
Well, I think writing is a way of dreaming. You know, even if we're writing nonfiction, I think there's often reflection. And for me, that's one of the enjoyable aspects of writing, is this sort of wakeful dreaming. One of the beauties of dreaming is how even if you feel like you have perspective, you're the vehicle of the dream, the sort of first person narrator of the dream, you're constantly shifting form and shape. Mm. You're not always, I'm not, you know, you could be a woman, you could be an animal, you could be a fence post. I just dreamt today, you know, I dreamt of myself as a fire hydrant pissing on dogs instead of the other way around. I thought, you know, why not?
I don't think you really dreamt that.
I did really dream that.
It's about time someone settled the score on that particular thing.
I think so too. I mean, fire hydrants surely can defend themselves in a dream world.
Well, I was trying to find this quote. I couldn't find it, but there's a...
Are you going to make this more serious?
No, I was just going to say that I saw this talk that John Berryman gave about the dream songs. Mm-hmm. And he said he's kind of tired of people assuming that he's the narrator in that work. He said, it's a dream. You know, like, I'm already telling you it's a dream. But that people still want to pin a lot of the content on the writer that work.
And the ego of the writer.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you have good dreams in Italy?
Slept hard.
Yeah.
We were exhausted.
Yeah. I think the waking hours were better than the sleeping hours for me.
So. I mean, obviously we had that one pretty good dream that we just read.
Right.
But that's also not necessarily a dream. It's a vision, a pull. You know, you walk around. I'm sure it's the same for you, Paul. You walk around and, you know, the things that we see are shaped by the thoughts we have about the things that we see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the word imagination describes that.